Remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS will be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly bit?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems on a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
How old are you?
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Great eyes are cool.
It's a fez. I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool.
The first question. The question that must never be answered. The oldest question in the universe. In plain sight.
Yes, but what is the question?
It's the same story every time, and it always begins with the same two words.
What two words?
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
Doctor
Who? Oh, Doctor Who?
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 Doctor
Who?
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
Doctor
Who? If we knew his name, we might have a clue to all this.
Yes, this is the TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com and celebrating the return of the Ice Warriors right here. It's the TARDIS Blend podcast. My name is Greg Davies, otherwise known as CGT2099.
And I am hungry like the wolf, Tom Sheridan.
Did you like that reference, though?
I loved it. I loved it so much it hurts.
I think it was a bit of a tip of the hat to Rose, actually.
Possibly. Mostly, I just think it was awesome.
Yeah, I was really musing. That part was really, really good. So, I mean, let's get straight into it. Let's not muck around. I mean, Cold War, the second part of Series 7, in my mind, is the standout episode so far.
Yeah, it's definitely the best of the crop that I've seen thus far. I like it. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, it made up for a lot of the stuff from the previous two episodes that
I wouldn't go that far, Greg. But
well, oh, really? you have issues with the episode?
No, but I don't think that it makes up for the past two stinkers.
Oh, I wouldn't exactly call them stinkers per se. I think they were a bit mediocre for Moffat and Doctor Who fare.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they were good. We enjoyed them as Doctor Who fans, but comparatively to, you know, the other really good standout episodes, they really didn't hit the mark. But this one, I think, did. And I think I've got a bit of a bias towards this because I'm a classic Doctor Whovian from way back, and the Ice Warriors are one of my favorite villains. This is the first time they've been seen in a Doctor Who episode in 39 years.
That is nuts that you know that.
Yeah, it's a long time, dude.
Right. Library of Gallifreyan knowledge.
Yeah, I'm usually called like your heavy metal historian or your in-universe Star Wars historian, but I'm catching up on the Whovian stuff a bit. So, but this is really, really good. I'm really enjoyed this episode. It was really well paced. I first and foremost, before we get to the Doctor and to General Louise, let's tip our hats to our co-hosts on this particular episode. Liam Cunningham who played the captain of the Soviet submarine. He was
taking a break from Lord of the Rings, or not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a superb actor anyway. I mean, you could put him in a dud movie, and he'd still be the shining example. I mean, he's just brilliant. And David Warner, who played the Professor Grisenko, I'm not sure if you recognized him, Tom.
Yes, dude, yeah. From Tron and like everything.
Yeah, yeah, he's been in a few Star Trek.
Like,
as
I
well.
Just started to go through the list, and I was like, no, he's in everything.
Yeah, yeah, he was his first well-known geek film was Tron, and that was when he played Sark in the Master Control Program, and he did a stellar job in that, and he kind of lived on in the hearts of fans for years, but. It's funny because he's been around forever, but he's never been in a Doctor Who until now, which I thought was odd. But those two guys, in my mind, stole the show. They were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. Liam Cunningham, in particular, as the captain, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm. So we had a lot of things happen in this. In this episode, and as we always usually warn our listeners, we do talk spoilers. So if you haven't seen the episode of Cold War yet, then you'll want to pause, go and have a watch of the episode, and then come back and listen to what we have to say about it. A big improvement. Mark Gatiss wrote this episode. It's always hit and miss for him, as far as I'm concerned. Like it'll be with my reactions to him,
more so hit.
Well, he did do Victory of the Daleks.
So, you don't like that one.
But you know what's
really interesting? I caught that one again, Greg, and I gotta say, other than just kind of throwing a Dalek episode in and just making it go, ho-hum, I liked it more than I did before, but go ahead, go on.
Yeah, no, actually, in a lot of ways, this particular episode was very much Victory of the Daleks part deux, if you will. It was like a do-over. Same kind of plot line, the last of an alien race who thinks he's alone, chained up, caught near modern history. It's set a little bit in the past. It was very much like that in a lot of ways. There's comparisons to that and Dalek. Going around the web at the moment, and I can kind of see that element there. But holy crap, dude, the Ice Warrior, absolutely brilliant. This is the first time we've ever seen an Ice Warrior outside of its armor, ever.
You know, I really thought that the Ice Warriors would be more icy. Maybe it's just me, but I totally was expecting more Dr. Freeze.
Mr.
Freeze.
Not at all. Not at all. No, they're very
the bad version from the bad Batman movie.
Yes, I really like the way that they kept the clunker kind of suit, the armor, instead of trying to like do it up too much. I like the way they stayed with that and said, but let's update it a little bit by letting the long-term fans finally see what one of these Ice Warriors look like without the armor.
Yeah, for most people, like myself, they don't even know who the hell they were in the first place.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of new fans being exposed to the Ice Warrior show, but I think it went down really well, so well, in fact, that I think we'll see them again.
I was also expecting to see, like, multiple Ice Warriors. We got one Ice Warrior.
I remember seeing an image somewhere on the web somewhere of
they had a bunch of them.
Yeah, and I'm wondering whether that actually comes up for the season finale.
You know, Moffat is not one to throw away his new established races.
Well, and it's not just that, but
he usually brings them back.
He usually reuses characters too, and
budgetary strains maybe.
The captain, the doctor actually says to him in this episode, when the captain says, "We owe you our lives," he says something along the lines of, like, "I'll hold you to that." And so very much the same way that he did with the pirate in the Curse of the Black Spot. He brought him back.
Man, we did not like that episode.
No, we hated that one. But it was good to see him again pop up in A Good Man Goes to War. I wasn't expecting that at all.
And we also talked about how that episode had you changed it ever so slightly, it would have actually been good.
Yeah, you know,
this one was a good one, right? Off the bat.
I think this is probably. I know you weren't too warm with the opening Dalek episode of this series. You liked it, but it was kind of like...
No. I loved everything about the opener,
yeah,
except for the Amy Rory thing, which I thought they should have just thrown out the window,
yeah,
which
yeah.
ruined the episode for me.
Yeah, so you're still kind of like lukewarm.
I loved everything else about it. That was one of the best openers that we've seen.
Yeah, but aside from that, I think in the season, as far as the season's concerned, Asylum of the Daleks and... Dinosaurs on a Spaceship rank up there with this one, Cold War. It has the same amount of fun. And the other thing that I think we're going to see the Professor again, because I caught something.
I certainly hope so because he was fun. The only thing that threw me off about this episode is why we're on a Russian sub in communist Russia, and everybody had a British accent instead of a
TARDIS translation matrix. I was fine with that.
It just kind of threw me, especially because we had really good actors.
Well, you know what really threw me was the fact that in the previous episode, the TARDIS translation matrix was not working for Clara at that point.
Well, the TARDIS wasn't even there. Explain that.
It's already been established that if you've been in the TARDIS or if it's in a a close like hull comparatively to the rest of the universe, that it will still work. And
so you think that last episode, even though it wasn't absolutely and 100% established that the Matrix wasn't working for Clara, that you think they're throwing us off the trail?
No, I think it's actually part of the trail. I think that the TARDIS, being a sentient being, doesn't like Clara. I think the TARDIS is just completely fucking with her. And I think that has a lot to do with her character and where we're going. And I've read a few theories about this, and some of them are really good. I don't think that they're going to turn out that way. There's one theory that's running around out there, that Clara is was the original owner of this TARDIS before the Doctor stole it, and some accident happened and spread her across time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem plausible, but it's a good idea. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is that Clara is actually shards of the TARDIS itself, remnants from the explosion of the TARDIS.
More sense, but sort of a letdown if that actually happened.
Yeah. My leaning is that she is a tool. She is a plot placed in multiple areas of time by some villain, some big bad, and she's going to turn out to be
evil.
A new villain.
Evil.
Mm-hmm. I
don't think she is.
The other theory that's been running around, which I don't like and I don't subscribe to it completely, and it's not because she's a woman. I'm all for... I'll get to that in a second, but there's a theory going around that she is actually the Doctor, the 12th incarnation of the Doctor. I don't like that because I prefer to be surprised who the Doctor is going to be. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm all for a female Doctor. I think it would be fantastic, but I'm not sure that that theory is accurate. I'm sticking with the villain thing.
I don't think it's the 12th Doctor because I just don't think it's the 12th Doctor. That's too much to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
And making me go, okay, I don't really feel like you planned this out, and I don't think that she... I mean, I just don't think so. You know?
Mm.
I don't think so.
I thought the set of this particular episode was fairly good as well, considering, like, you know, there's no way in the world you could ever really have a realistic television or movie submarine set, because it's all too cramped and small and stuff. I thought they did a fairly good job at trying to keep it a little cramped, but not cramped enough for the cameras. You know, lots of hallway dashing, which is like classic Doctor Who. There were several tributes to Patrick Troughton in this episode as well. And the other thing, did you notice the we finally saw that this particular sonic screwdriver
red
has the red has the red setting that Riversong alluded to way back in the library episodes to David Tennant. So
yeah, I mean hers can go blue or red.
Yeah. Yeah, so this
I've never seen Matt Smith do anything but green.
Right, right. There's some fans debating that there is a shot in the episode where it was blue at one stage, kind of foreshadowing that it was it can be multicolored, but I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch that either. And even if it was, it's like, red. They would show it.
Yeah, so a thoroughly enjoyable episode, I thought. This is definitely my favorite of the second half of this season. Let me see what else have I got here that we... need to talk about with the red settings. They left the TARDIS door open again.
Mm-hmm.
This is key. Every time they get out of the TARDIS in these last few episodes, they've left the doors open. And Sexy mm-hmm. seems to be closing them herself.
I think the best thing from this one is I think we saw a lot more of Clara. You know, we saw more personality from her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like that Doctor said, you know, she went in and she tried to broker a deal with the Ice Warrior, and she came back in and she was like, "Did you see that? That was good." And he's like, "This is not a test, Clara."
Yeah, well, see, that was actually key to the last episode, because the last episode, you know, there was a lot of criticism from fans about the Rings of Akatan, because it's like, well, this doesn't make any sense. But, you know, how's all that stuff orbiting if the sun's disappeared and blah, blah, blah. And all this science-y kind of debate
going on. It did make me think too much. And I gotta say that.
That wasn't the point of the episode. The whole point of the episode was to test
Clara.
I don't
want to think.
Well, yeah, but...
I don't want to have to, like, theorize, because that's, you know, we can get into it, but it's mm-hmm. like the reason why I didn't enjoy Prometheus as much as I could was for, like, little issues like that. That would just nag at me and then take me out of the story.
Prometheus is a really bad example, because there's a ton of really bad things
science.
Going on there.
Well,
although,
there
on that side note, can I talk about my Prometheus theory now that you've brought it up?
If the listeners don't hate you,
you know, they won't hate me for it. But my theory on Prometheus is that the whole episode is not told from the point of view of Noomi Rapace's character, but of the android. And so every time we see a human doing something stupid, like you know, picking up a snake-like thing and playing with it like a pussycat, and I need to get bitten by the damn thing. You know, that's actually David filling in the blanks because he isn't there.
See, I wish they would have... They did kind of allude to that
at the end.
Yeah, with the narration of where would you like to go.
So, that's my theory on it.
And overall, I did enjoy that movie. But anyways, get back to Doctor
Who. Let's get back to Doctor Who. You are absolutely right. Episode rating, I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 5, because I'd usually...
Oh, we're going to do halves?
Yes, we are going to do halves.
I'm not going to do halves.
Oh, I'm
all
four
star
and a half.
Or no stars.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm doing 3.
7.5 out of 10 from us here at the TARDIS Blend. A higher rating than the last couple of episodes. All in all, this season is becoming disappointing, I think, overall.
Yeah.
You know, this is
well, you know, and we said it before...
Mm.
Amy and Rory sort of threw a wrench in everything that they were going to do.
Well, I don't think so. I think there's actually a practical side to this, and I think that what the deal is that there's a strategy that Moffat is taking with this, and a lot of these episodes feel like they're leftover material from previous writing pitches. And I think what they've done is they've brought a lot of that stuff with this particular thematic approach for this season to have good episodes but not brilliant episodes, so that the 50th anniversary special stands out like a shining star.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think that's the case.
I think if you're not going out there trying to hit a home run every single time, then you should step aside. And I don't think Moffat ever does anything less than what he thinks is the best.
Well, maybe so, but that's my theory. I'm sticking with it. I think there's a strategy behind this whole deal. So, anyway, I guess we'll wait and see. Speaking of the 50th anniversary, not really some news, but it's an interesting tidbit. Paul McGann made a statement the other day saying that he is still hopeful that he'll be cast in the 50th.
Oh my God, we need some Paul McGann.
Yeah, he was saying that you know, usually with these kinds of projects, unless you have like a huge major early part of the deal, you usually don't get a call to the last minute. And
sounds like he's keeping his schedule open, though.
Yeah, I think he is. And
I would love to see, man. I'd love to see him come back for a whole season.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see that too.
You know, I just watched him in Luther. Yeah, BBC show Luther. Yeah, and he was brilliant.
He's a great actor anyway. And you know, I'd like to see the, if they ever do another spin-off from Doctor Who, I would love to see them do something like that, like the Eighth Doctor Chronicles or something like that. Because he could still feasibly pull off that role.
Oh, yeah. We don't know how long he was there. He could have aged a little bit.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. So that's the news there. So
overall, I just thought it was like, you know, man, I just really want to see him because we haven't seen him in regular context. And I read this whole big thing. I was talking to Greg over IM during the workday, so I'm not sure if he even caught it. Mm-hmm. But I read this big, huge, like trivia page on IMDb about the Eighth Doctor movie, and like the dude who shot it, like, he went through all kinds of pains to get it done and to keep it like within the you know, the canon rules of classic Doctor Who before, you know, because Fox wanted to do all kinds of crazy shit. They wanted to bring Jim Carrey in.
Yeah, there would have been all kinds of, I mean, that's the problem with that.
They wanted to bring in Tom Baker as the guy who transforms from, you know, 4 to 8, and he was like, no.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah, so, it's basically, you know, that's what would happen if Doctor Who was placed in American studio hands.
It's like that episode of Community where Chevy Chase's character he sits down with the the producers, the American producers, for like a Inspector Time Lord, or what is it, Space Time?
Inspector Space Time. Yes,
it's a good episode. Watch it if you haven't. I think it's the opener of.
I've seen some clips of. I don't watch Community, but I've seen the clips of Inspector Space Time.
They go to a convention. That's what it is.
Mm.
Anyways, back to that. I really would like to see him in there because I think he's just this vast, unutilized, like, relic who actually wants to be in it and do all these things. And it's not like he's a bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the movie's a little cheesy. But the more I read about it and the more that the painstaking process they had to do to keep it within the realm of Doctor Who and not let it get out of scope made me have so much more respect for it.
I think it would be an absolute disservice if they didn't invite Paul McGann back for the 50th anniversary special.
You hear really that, would. BBC? Because we know that you don't listen to us because there's a million Doctor Who podcasts.
No, that
is... But spread the word.
I've been told by some of the BBC personnel that they've heard our podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, just hear. They got to be busy folks.
Not directly from them. Just you know, hear through a person who heard through a person kind of deal. But you know, they've heard the TARDIS plane. So you know, and it,
well, they don't really have any more sway than anyone else. Ultimately, all know it's Moffat.
Well, yeah, you know that's true. But I mean, Paul McGann needs to come back. It has to happen. I mean, I could do without Chris Eccleston. I mean, I loved him as the Doctor.
He really doesn't want to come back, and I respect that.
Yeah, he's kind of doing a Harrison Ford at the moment, you know, with the whole, no, I don't want to come back. And, okay. You know, and that's fine because he did a good tenure.
I'm not even mad.
No, I'm not even mad. He had a whole season, and Paul only had one episode, and I think
he had one poorly produced episode that was not his fault.
Right.
And he's come back, you know, as you've pointed out. You know, I really want to go listen to some of those audio shows.
Yeah, there's actually some really good books too out there. The Eighth Doctor Adventures.
Maybe you should you could point us to on Amazon some links. In the show notes?
I could do that, yes. I'll do a bit of an Amazon search and put a generic link there so that people can check it out and see what's there. Because there are some audio adventures and there are some books as well that are fairly good. And one of them actually is one that I haven't read, but I'm dying to get my hands on. I think it's called The Eight Doctors. And it was done by Terence Dix from the classic Doctor Who days.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Actually, speaking of multi-Doctor stories, and while we're on the 50th anniversary special, I want to remind everyone, we briefly mentioned this in one of the previous episodes, but IDW Publishing have a absolutely superb publication running for the 50th anniversary. It's an adventure called Doctor Who Prisoners of Time. And the premise, and I've been reviewing this on geeksofdoom.com, but, you know, being a Whovian aside, this is just exciting reading for any comic book fan. It's brilliant. It's the series of the year by far. And the premise is that there's 12 issues, and one for each Doctor, and the 12th issue will be where all of the Doctors are united. And what's happening is each issue is a separate adventure, but you know at some point that the Doctor's companions, they get abducted by some evil dude who we are unsure of at this point. And it's coming to a head. And so there's 3 issues out now. The first issue of the William Hartnell era was okay, but the second and the third issues are absolutely spectacular, Tom. The artwork is wonderful. It is just, it's amazing. And the artists are real, in the second and third issues are very, very, they pay a lot of attention to detail. They have good likenesses of the characters, but at the same time, they're using a little bit of liberties to kind of stay close to the classic Doctor Who comic strips. So there's like a bit of a tip of the hat to that stuff as well. So the schooled Whovian will go, oh, wow, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, yeah. Dave Gibbons, for anyone who doesn't know, co-creator of Watchmen, did a lot of Doctor Who comic book art.
Oh, yeah. He cut his teeth with Doctor Who. Yeah. I mean, that's really where he got his start. And, you know, it's kind of funny when you think about that, because in the television series, Douglas Adams cut his teeth with Doctor Who. It's some of the greats start with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to...
it's nice to see it come full circle now. Like, you know, people who have gone and made it are now being invited back to do Doctor Who as like a privilege and you know, as a feather in their cap.
Yeah, and it's... But, you know, that aside, this is a really exciting series, and it's surpassing my expectations, and I'm about to be reviewing the Tom Baker episode, issue nice. This week. So
definitely mark that for trade paperback when it comes out.
Absolutely. I would hope that the trade paperback would be coming out by the end of the year, so I guess we'll see how that pans out, but I'm really excited about this series, and I really recommend people check it out. And if you're unsure, just have a look at my reviews. One of the artists actually reached out, and I won't name who it is, but reached out and contacted me directly for picking up on some of the subtle nuances that he used in some of the stuff that
always
he was
good
doing.
When you oh when yeah you, review, need, you know and, he, and the people you know who did it say, hey, you know, I read it and I liked it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it was almost like, you know, he was like, you're very observant. You picked that up, and not many people have. So it was a nice little feather in my cap too. So, you know, check it out.
Some other things about the 50th special, updated cast list.
Oh, you've got.
We know that the Brigadier General's is it daughter?
Yes, she's coming back.
She will be back. Mm-hmm. We also know somebody who. I honestly don't remember, but I know that they are curiously wearing a Tom Baker scarf.
Now, this is from the behind-the-scenes thing from the first day of filming at Trafalgar Square and the Tower of London.
So, and, I mean, we don't really know. Maybe it's just one of those things they throw in there. Maybe it's just one of those things that
I think they're just throwing it in there to either throw people or just to maybe it was her own scarf that she was wearing, and she was like, yeah, you know, I'm a Doctor Who fan.
That'd be cool.
You know, either way, it was cool.
Worth mentioning on this show, definitely, though.
It's not confirmed yet, but it looks like, I mean, because one of those videos had our favorite Sontaran Strax introduce. And so I'm not sure whether he's going to be in the 50th anniversary, but that would be damn cool. if he was, because he's a hell of a funny character, and he pulls off that role brilliantly. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing more of him. Next week's episode, and I can't, you know what? I can't remember the title of it, silly me. Let me see here. I'll dig it up. And I was only just looking at this earlier. It's a very simple title. It's one word. Gosh. I'm going to have to edit this part out.
No, I can fill it in with factoids. David Warner, I felt like he was channeling in this episode the scientist from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze. I think he was.
Really? I don't even remember that movie.
Well, it's brilliant. Let me say that. It's the crown jewel of the Ninja Turtle movies. It's got Vanilla Ice in it, after all.
Okay, the episode title, I'm sorry, is Hyde. It's a very...
You don't have to apologize.
It's a very... I can't believe I forgot it. But this is written by the same guy that did episode 2, the Rings of Akatan. Or sorry, yeah. Episode 7, I should say. Different director this time around, and it looks to be a bit of a tip of the hat to the haunted house genre of films, by the looks of it. Mm-hmm. And if you caught the preview at the end of this week's episode, there's a shot in there where Matt Smith looks absolutely petrified. And I'm looking forward to this one. So it looks like it's going to have a bit of a horror bend to it.
Did you realize that David Warner was actually into that cartoon that we mentioned Dreamland. Last episode?
Yeah, yeah.
Doctor Who.
He was the alien, wasn't he? I think he was the alien.
Lord Aslock.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah, he's got a very distinctive voice.
I haven't seen it, so
dude, you should check it out. I'm telling you now, it's worth it. But the
TV, man.
The animation is terrible, but it doesn't matter because the story really is very good. It's very good.
I will do. I mean, it's definitely on the list. If Netflix put it up, it would be there.
I think it might be there. If it's not there, it's YouTubeable. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. It has to be. So
I'll check it out. Maybe BBC has it on their website.
They might do. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so that's next week. Hyde, which looks like a bit of a cracker of an episode with a bit of a horror twinge to it that's going to scare the crap out of the kiddies. But I'm looking forward to it, and apparently it's a bit of a tip of the hat to the haunted house thing, so it should be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We'll be here. We'll be reviewing it, and... Hopefully it'll cross the street. I honestly don't think that I'm going to give anything more than 3. I'm being a little bit held back on my ratings, Greg. I think because I'm really like looking forward to the two episodes, the 50th and the Neil mm-hmm. Gaiman episode.
Oh, you didn't mention the Steve Thompson episode. I'm surprised. Called Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Well, yeah.
That's after next week's. That's apparently, we get to see a whole lot more of the TARDIS than we've never seen before, more than what we saw in the last Neil Gaiman episode, the Doctor's wife.
So, some interesting episodes on the horizon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Actually, you mentioned Neil Gaiman. I just want to point out his episode was originally titled "The Last Cyberman." It's now been retitled. I've noticed it's called Nightmare in Silver now, which I think is a much better title.
Yeah.
So
I don't really care as long as it's his.
Well,
he did such a great job. You know, it's just like one of those things where you can tell he wrote it.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're way over.
Yeah, let's run through the upcoming episodes in the schedule. So we've got Hyde next week. Then it's Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, The Crimson Horror, another Mark Gatiss episode, Nightmare in Silver, the Neil Gaiman Cyberman episode, the season finale, currently untitled, and then we have in November, presumably, the 50th anniversary special, which is supposed to be 90 minutes in length, and then we have the Christmas special at the end of the year. And so that's what we've got. That's what we've got to come.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. We're done. Again, it's another fun time here at the TARDIS Blend. We're very happy with the Cold War episode with the Return of the Ice Warriors. It's a big improvement on the last two.
Yeah, Greg, you need to cue Hungry Like the Wolf.
Hey, I've cued the Doctor Who theme, so we'll catch you next week. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. And I was tempted to bring this up anyway.
Yeah, you should have.
Little Easter egg for our people that listen to the end of the podcast.
Yeah. I think you should throw that album cover in there with the Matt Smith somewhere. That TARDIS one logo. In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt after you.
This is a great song anyway, I love it. That's enough of that. But I will point out as we close out and finish up here, I was really impressed with the confrontation that the professor had with Clara, and he was asking for future details and said, "Have Ultravox broken up?"
Yeah, that's nice.
That was good.